of this substitute motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. This is now the main motion. All those in favor of this as the main motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. So ordered.
Mr. Moderator, may I interrupt and make two announcements that appear to be quite urgent. One, anyone knowing the whereabouts of Audrey Lintner, apparently she did not report back to her room last night, is asked to contact the Reverend Bob Borger of the OPC General Assembly. Audrey Lintner. And then the Reverend Donald Graham, if he's not on the floor, if anybody knows where he is, he has been summoned to the judicial case, in case number one.
Dr. Buswell.
Number 16, that the following be received as information. That the Committee of Commissioners has received the response of the Permanent Committee to the instruction of the 1981 General Assembly to change its objective accounting system. And right here, there should be some words added that were omitted. I'll begin back. To change its objective accounting system to a functional accounting system, and is satisfied that the instruction has been met and complied with.
You have to vote on a test piece of news. All right, the motion is before you. Any discussion? Ordered.
Number 17, that the General Assembly approve and establish as a permanent program of Mission to the World, Servants in Missions Abroad.
You have heard it. Microphone 6.
Mr. Moderator, Jim Jones, Westminster Presbytery. I offer an amendment following the motion, and that the approved FEMA missionaries be required to come under the jurisdiction of the appropriate PCA church court, either session or presbytery, so that proper Presbyterian discipline may be exercised.
You have that written out for us, sir?
Yes.
We have an amendment. Our discussion will deal with the amendment. We'd like to read it again. And by my reading it and stating it, it is therefore on the floor. And that the amendment is, and that the approved FEMA missionaries be required to come under the jurisdiction of the appropriate PCA church court, either session or presbytery, so that proper Presbyterian discipline may be exercised. That is the amendment. The mover has the floor.
Mr. Moderator, the problem that is before us right now is the fact that there are FEMA missionaries who are not required to be members of the Presbyterian Church in America. This presents a problem as far as church discipline is involved, because though they may be under a certain amount of discipline from FEMA, there is no local jurisdiction, either session or presbytery, that has oversight over their ministry. This amendment is intended to require them to become members of the PCA so that we will not be functioning as an independent mission board. Thank you.
Microphone 10.
Mr. Moderator, Donald Comer, Central Georgia Presbytery. I have served for the past 2 years as chairman of the FEMA subcommittee. The intent of the 8th General Assembly when the FEMA committee was brought forth was that there would be those who would come from denominations other than the PCA. At the present time, there are missionaries serving under FEMA who are not members of PCA churches, as was the intent of the 8th General Assembly. The brother's recommendation that is before the court at this time would eliminate the intent of the 8th General Assembly. I would urge the court to vote down the amendment.
Number 6.
Jack Mayfield, Sioux Lands Presbytery. If I could speak to that, fathers and brethren, about the intent. If you look at back in the minutes and, of course, the next motion, a recommendation, 18 speaks to this. The intent of the assembly, the 8th General Assembly, was to allow this for only a 2-year period. And I think this speaks to the whole issue that now that we've got the program off the ground, it has proved itself that we need to bring it back under the standard policy. And a basic argument for this is that the church is the sending agency. The church is the one who really trains and gives encouragement to this activity. And we're not to act or as an independent board in any way.
Microphone 10. Mr. Moderator, Frank Barker, Evangel Presbytery. I would like to speak against the amendment. We happen to, at this time, have out under the board in the SEMA program two young ladies from our area who are recommended by our staff but are not members of the PCA Church. There's been no problem with discipline. I don't believe there's been any problem with discipline with anyone. And this has given us, many of our groups would work with young singles. We have many young singles who would be active and involved in our church and in groups like this that are not actually members, but are struck with the missionary thrust, feel that possibly God might want them in world missions. Here's an opportunity for them to try their hand at it. We have contact now with some, I understand that the SEMA program has contact with some 200 young people who are not members of a PCA church. These, not all 200 of those in any sense whatsoever will go out. But it would be a bad mistake to cut us off from the opportunity to challenge these young people. And many of them will move into the PCA, will go back as PCA missionaries, or will come back and be part of PCA churches. Already have close contact with PCA churches, but are not actually members. It'd be a serious mistake. If you listened to Dr. Francis Schaefer when he spoke to us, he made the point that we don't want to cut ourselves off from the church around the world and for the opportunity to influence this church and remember to build bridges with other bodies. And I think it would be an important thing to defeat the amendment and continue the program. It has proved to be a good way of going about it. We've had no real problem with that. And I'd urge us to defeat the amendment.
Microphone 2.
Bill Iverson of the Philadelphia Presbytery. I'm just adding a little to information. It does seem to me that if a young person is recommended by the local session or board of a church, that I don't know what's spelled out in those guidelines, I've forgotten, but that if this young person is a member of a church, a professing Christian, and under the discipline of a church, and that church recommends them to a Presbyterian SEMA ministry, it seems that we could work with that. I know in our little seminary we have up there, we work with apostolic ministers. They come and enroll in our school. They don't believe in the Trinity. They do believe Jesus is God. And we've discovered that by working with them over a period of time, if this is true truth that we've got, the elect are going to come into it just by the relationship. And people always come our way. They don't go away if they're seeking good, strong, reformed truth and want to put skin on it. So I think it's a good idea to give us a little more information on what discipline they're under and how they're recommended. Make sure of that more than just whether it's PCA or not.
Microphone 5,
Harris, New River. A point of information. I believe, and I stand corrected on this, that there are currently missionaries working in France, formerly under WPM, now presumably under Mission to the World, who are members of Orthodox Presbyterian churches. If that's the case, would we not be making stronger requirements for our SEMA missionaries than we are for our actual missionaries? And wouldn't that be a little embarrassing?
I'm not sure there has to be an answer.
It was a request for information. I would like, if I'm correct, I would like to be that to be.
Dr. Buswell, do you have the answer? Mr. Smart? Microphone 10.
Mr. Moderator, it is true that, and this actually doesn't affect what we're talking about, any member of a NAPARC church is considered the same as a member of the PCA when it comes to the SEMA program and to mission to the world.
Thank you. Microphone 7.
Sam Brown, Mid-Atlantic Presbytery. I'm concerned about the rights of the missionaries under the SEMA program, and I'd like to address a question to that. If a case of serious import arose where that missionary would have to be disciplined, would that individual have access to the courts of our church? A stated clerk or Mr. Smart? Or
seems to me he has to be in the church to have access to the church. If he's a member of a church, he has access to the court.
So it's only the only area of discipline he would have would be MTW.
I'm not prepared to speak whether MTW takes unto itself discipline. Mr. Smart?
Moderator, there is a certain discipline exercised by the field team that the missionary that the SEMA candidate would be serving under, and if that missionary were to be sent back to this country and disciplined, if he was a member of a local church or a presbytery, he would have appeal through his church or presbytery. If he did not, he would have no way of appeal in the PCA.
Thank you. Microphone 8.
Nelson Malchus. Mr. Moderator, just to add something to what Kennedy Smart has said with reference to OPC men who are under WPM or who have been under WPM. There's not an exact parallel there because these men are serving under a written agreement with the PCA, which I don't, in other words, we have had a written agreement with the denomination and the mission board of the OPC, whereas I don't think that this is true of SEMA people, which is a distinction, it seems to me.
All right, we've had a distinction made. Microphone 6.
Marlon Wismer, Sioux Lands Presbytery. I would like to speak in favor of the amendment for the simple reason that I hope we in the PCA have understood the fact that missionary work is the work of the church, and where we as a local church would not ask someone who is not a member to minister in our behalf and our name, yet we seem to do the same when it comes to short-term mission policy. And due to the fact that the two-year exemption that the 8th General Assembly allowed expires this year, and we have people who are not members of PCA...
Mr. Moderator, time has lapsed on the issue.
The time has lapsed. Is it the will of the body to have an additional time or not? All in favor of extending for 5 minutes, say aye. Those opposed, no. I rule that the noes have it. The debate is ceased. We have an amendment before us. Would the clerk read it for us again, please? I have it, if you...
And that the approved SEMA missionaries be requested to come under the jurisdiction of the appropriate PCA church court, either session or presbytery, so that proper Presbyterian discipline may be exercised.
That's the amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
I rule that it's lost. The division has been called for. Would pages please take care of that? Are there announcements to make during the... All right. It's been suggested that we first have an eyeball count. Will the ayes please stand? Thank you. Will the noes please stand? I believe my ruling is correct and then it's lost. Are we still calling for a division? Hearing none, please be seated. The amendment is lost. We're back to the motion with no amendment. Number 17.
Mr. Moderator?
Yes, Dr. Buswell.
I'd like to say briefly, for 17 and 18, a word of explanation. As we have discussed it in the committee, and I think I'm reflecting this, that we have various means of recruiting new missionaries. This is one of them. The recruiting method of impressing on the hearts of young adults the need to serve in the mission field. I think that all of our recruiting methods could not be under the judicial guidance of our presbytery
There are many means of reaching out and touching young lives that are certainly not in our churches. And this is a very effective one to bring in new missionaries.
The motion is before you. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. I rule that the ayes weakly have it. Dr. Buswell.
Number 18, that the General Assembly answer overture 20 in the negative, and overture 20, page 825, you may find is that an overture that SEMA be exempt, that in light of the fact that SEMA was exempted from the general mission to the world policy for a time, that we now bring SEMA into line with mission to the world policy. That is, the SEMA missionaries be in the same relationship as other missionaries. We answer in the negative. Ground. The uniqueness of the short-term missions as a vehicle for equipping, training, and discipling young adults toward career development has been demonstrated by the present SEMA program as established in 1980 by the 8th General Assembly, and therefore should be continued under existing policies.
Number eight. That would be number three, I think.
I'd like to ask a question. Pastor Jibweed, on the border of New Mexico. These young people that are going into SEMA, are they members of some church, OPC, or are they just... The way it sounded a minute ago is that they were just attending the church with no apparent membership. I don't understand.
Mr. Smart, do you want to speak again on microphone 10?
The answer is that they are definitely a member of a church, and they have to come to us with a recommendation from their pastor. They are examined by the SEMA committee as to their Christian faith and commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, and also as to their acceptance of our Westminster standards, which they must accept to be a SEMA volunteer.
Thank you. Microphone 6.
Mr. Moderator, this gentleman here was standing before me.
I'm sorry, microphone 11.
Thank you. Marlon Wisner, Siouxland. I'd like to offer a substitute motion, Mr. Moderator, that the General Assembly answer in the affirmative overture 20. If I could get a second, I'd like to speak to it.
Mr. Moderator, that's out of order. That's exactly in the opposite. You can't do that. You just have to vote it down.
If it's voted down, then you can bring as a new motion. But it is opposite.
Thank you.
Microphone 10.
Frank Barker, Evangel Presbytery. Really, to some extent, we have before us the same issue that we just voted on. The issue here is whether we will continue the program as it has been continued and has gone on and has shown itself to be very effective. The committee is recommending that we answer the overture in the negative, which would say, let's continue the program. The committee of commissioners is saying, let's continue the program as it has been going. The overture says, no, let's change the program. Let's require that only those who are in the PCA be able to go out. And second, let's require that the committee itinerate them for their support. Now, if you do this, you'll virtually kill the program. This is a very significant thing. The committee does not want to itinerate these SEMA men as it itinerates the rest of our missionaries to the churches to raise their support. The reason why is that many of these young people, as they go, they bring their own support with them, and they have the responsibility of raising their support. They raise it from their friends, from their relatives. They don't raise it from our PCA churches, by and large, as they would if they were itinerated by the committee. This brings in additional funds. This makes the program feasible financially. It doesn't cut into the missionaries we're already sending out. And it doesn't take as long to raise the funds. These raise their funds in considerably less time, which is an important factor, because these have to get out in a certain time frame. When there's an opening, they have to be ready to move. So it's important, I believe, that the program be continued as it is already started, and thus that the overture be answered in the negative, that we vote affirmative, for this commission's recommendation here.
Microphone 6.
Mr. Moderator, Roland Barnes, Central Georgia Presbytery. I'd just like to ask a question for information, following up on a question that was already asked by a brother over in this area of the assembly. Maybe it would be helpful to know what kinds of churches these SEMA missionaries are members of. Could someone give us an idea, if they're not members of NAPARC churches, what kinds of churches are they members of, so that we get an idea of what kind of care they might be receiving from the bodies of which they are members?
Microphone 10.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. Donald Comer, Central Georgia Presbytery. These young people, in addition to coming from PCA churches, some have come from PCUS churches, some have come from Southern Baptist churches. These are young people who have attended Urbana, who have talked to Jason Cowell while there, have indicated an interest and a desire to serve the Lord in this area. These are young people who have been on the campuses of colleges throughout the country, who have been with parachurch organizations on campuses, who have heard about the SEMA program of the Presbyterian Church in America. They're interested. They want to find out more about the program. They correspond with Jay Kyle in the office in Decatur. He sends out information to them, and there begins the transfer or the relationship with PCA. The majority of these young people have been from PCA churches. If they're not from PCA churches, PCA has the oversight of these young people as far as their work is concerned on the field. Their home church, their home session, or their home board of stewards or what have you would have oversight of them in matters spiritual.
Microphone 5.
Jack Mayfield, Siouxland Presbytery. I think the issue we have here is we found a wandering child out here, an orphan, and we brought him into our house, and we wanted, the choice is whether we want that child to become a full member of the family or we just want to be foster parents. Now, it seems strange to me we have made it a permanent program, which I'm behind. I think it's a wonderful program. And if these young people have studied the confession and studied our distinctives and have enriched themselves in their biblical and reformed heritage, what's the problem of getting involved and showing that commitment in one of our churches? I find it strange and disappointing. We had the experience in our own presbytery of a SEMA candidate who was somewhat isolated. They asked for help, and the continual response that they saw anyway was that there wasn't enough help in the SEMA office down in Atlanta. They were overloaded. They didn't have the staff, and it was discouraging them that part of the problem was all these other candidates from other denominations just overwhelmed the office. And here they were PCA members and being neglected. Now, if these other young people agree with us, what's the problem of coming in? Again, I think the basic principle that the church is the agency to do this, and we ought to take that responsibility upon ourselves. As far as the fundraising, it's disappointing to say you just go out on your own and do it on your own and get no encouragement or help as our regular missionaries. If this is going to be a permanent program, we ought to bring it in and make them fully members of the family, not foster children. Thank you.
Does the staff need a microphone 10?
W.A. McElwain, Gulf Coast Presbytery. You know, I was a missionary in Japan. All of my ministry, most of my active ministerial life, I have been wondering about this whole matter for quite a while. as to the wisdom of sending out young people who did not transfer their membership to the PCA. In the old days, we had young people who came out to the field. They came out with various missions. They came out under the YMCA. Young, unmarried people, sometimes they made some serious mistakes. The real problem, there's a problem on the field about this. As soon as anything that the nationals of that country would consider scandalous or upsetting in their social system takes place, there's a real problem. I have asked the representative of the coordinator of the mission to the World Committee. I also asked Frank Barker's opinion on his situation and talked with them about this. My belief is that the important thing when you get to the field and for that young person is for him to recognize his responsibility as a Christian. It was stated that he is responsible in his work to the mission to the world. He is responsible for to the church, and they are the ones who have to attend to his, to the gist of it, I believe, is his spiritual life. But it is necessary for the mission to the world to have the authority to remove such a one from the field immediately if anything like that takes place. That's a very important item, and I've asked, and that is taken care of fully. And as to the young person transferring to the PCA, if he has the call of God and he sees what the gospel really is, he's going to make his transfer. But sometimes there are things that make it very difficult for him to recognize the necessity of that at the time, and yet he wants to get this experience. And if he has that experience with those who have the gospel as we see it in his fullness and work with them, if God is calling him to this work,
I'm sorry, Dr. McWay, your time is lapsed.
Well, I've said what I need to.
Is that just time for him or for the whole thing? It's just here.
All right, the next speaker is 8. As long as time permits, the men will be called upon in this order. Microphone 8, 7, 11, 2 at 6, and 1 at 9. We have a half minute left.
Mr. Moderator.
Microphone 8.
Mr. Moderator, Lee Ferguson, Calvary Presbytery. I notice that 2 of the commissioners voted against the recommendation.
Mr. Moderator, it's lapsed.
Does the body want to extend for 5 minutes? Please say yes. No, say no.
No.
I rule that the noes have it. The debate is completed. We then have before us the motion. Dr. Buswell, would you read it for us?
Let the General Assembly answer overture 20 in the negative.
I remind you that to vote yes is to vote down an overture. Those who are in favor of the motion before us indicate so by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed to the motion indicate by saying no.
No.
Let's have you stand. Those in favor, please stand. You may be seated. Those against say no. Stand, rather. I rule that the noes have louder voices. However, the yeses have passed the motion.
Number 19, let the General Assembly approve the following addition to Mission to the World Policy Manual. 2.02(1)(4), powers entrusted to a missionary. When a teaching elder is approved for missionary service, the presbytery may entrust him with power to organize churches and ordain ruling elders and deacons therein.
You've heard the reading. It's before us. Any discussion? Microphone 7.
Fred McFarland, New River Presbytery. I realize this is an area where there's a difference between the northern and southern tradition of Presbyterianism. I just wanted to point that out so that we would allow for some of us who by conscience cannot vote for this because we do not believe in bishops. And therefore, we do not believe in giving the power to an individual to ordain or organize a church. But I just wanted the negative votes to be able to be recorded or noted so they wouldn't just go by quickly. But I understand, I knew this was going to, that this difference existed, and I accept that that's part of your government. Maybe we'll work to change it, I don't know. Or maybe you'll change my opinion that Scripture gives people the power of having being a bishop. But I just think that some of us need the place by conscience to say no, that we can't support this.
This was a statement of conscience, number 4, and then number 3.
David Linden from the Presbytery of Puget Sound. Mr. Moderator, I surmise that the purpose of this is so that someone has the authority to get a church started in a pioneering situation. Is that correct?
That's right.
Dr. Budwell?
Yes.
Then I believe we should support it so that we can get a Presbyterian church established so that we can do what my brother thinks we should do.
Thank you. Number 3.
Gerard Young from the Southwest Presbytery. I believe that when the statement was just made, giving the missionary that power, he has more power than the minister of a church. For instance, if a missionary wants to ordain elders and deacons by himself within the confines of an established church, he can so do it. However, if the missionary is out in a place where there is no established church, I can see he should have that established authority. But I think that we're going in the wrong direction when a missionary, a minister ordained, has the power to ordain elders and deacons by himself. I, incidentally, as a minister, would like to ordain some elders and deacons other than the session, but I don't have that power.
Any other discussion? Microphone 11.
Tom Seeley from Calvary Presbytery. Mr. Moderator, it should be noted that what we are citing here is very similar to what the Book of Church Order already does for an evangelist. And what we're merely asking is that our teaching elder missionaries be given that same authority so that we can have Presbyterian churches on our mission field.
I think Dr. Smith has raised a question that's running through my mind. May we hear from microphone 7.
This is Homer Emerson, missionary to Peru. I would like to ask the brethren who have brought this up or against this motion, how in the world are you going to get a church started if a teaching elder on the field cannot ordain the elders and deacons that will be elected by the body?
Excuse me, before we respond, I do think there's a major parliamentary problem. Several of us have thought about it. Dr. Smith.
Mr. Moderator, it appears to me that this is dealing with matters of basic polity and not just mission policy now. In other words, this has to do really with the constitution of the church. And I'm inclined to think that it really is a matter that it ought to be proposed for a change of the Book of Church Order. The proper way perhaps to get an answer, rather than just taking my opinion, would be for us to ask the Permanent Judicial Committee to make a ruling as to whether this should be just done in the manual or should it be brought to the Assembly as a matter of proposed Book of Church Order change. And, Mr. Moderator, I'd be glad to make that request. I haven't gotten it written out, but I'd be glad to make that request, that we make it a request of the Judicial Committee to make a ruling on it.
Do we have to vote on that?
Jack, do we need a vote on
that? Do we need a vote to give it to them?
I think we just need to vote for it first.
It's my personal opinion as moderator that this is clearly right. and I will rule that it be referred to that committee. The body can overrule me, but I believe that is right, and it would simply take this matter out of our discussion now and come back with their report.
And, Mr. Moderator, the chairman indicates that it should apply to both items 19 and 20.
Items 19 and 20. Unless it's a motion to overrule me, number 8.
What? Okay. Point, I want a point of information.
Excuse me, the point of order would have a preference. Number 5.
The book of Jack Mayfield, Sioux Lands Presbytery, Book of Church Order 8. 6 says, when a teaching elder is appointed to the work of an evangelist, he is commissioned to preach the word and administer sacraments in foreign countries or the destitute parts of the church. I think the Book of Church Order is sufficient already to speak to this issue. The presbyteries have, within their own prerogatives, the power to appoint a missionary who is a teaching elder in many cases, in foreign countries. They have the power already to designate them as an evangelist with these powers if the presbytery so wish.
Mr. Moderator, that is quite true, but I believe this is proposing in particular in item 20 how they may go further than is allowed under the rule of evangelists. Under the rule of evangelists, a man may receive members and ultimately may ordain elders, but he's not allowed to ordain other teaching elders. And at least 20 is trying to set up provisional presbytery whereby the missionaries act as a provisional presbytery to ordain teaching elders. Am I correct, Mr. Chairman? I think that is correct.
Mr. Clerk, are we putting 19, 20 in the hands of the committee?
Yes, that is.
Number 10.
Mr. Moderator, Kennedy Smart from North Georgia Presbytery. I just want to put the stated clerk on the spot. We did this because this is what he counseled us to do. But if it is referred, which is fine, I would like to ask that David Hamilton from the Quito team meet with the Judicial Committee at that time, because the fellows in Quito came to a place where they were organizing a Presbyterian church, but they had no one to ordain the minister. And unless the team can serve as a provisional presbytery long enough to ordain the minister, how are they ever going to get it unless they send the fellow all the way back to this country? So that's why David Hamilton needs to meet with them.
The proposal of David Hamilton is fine. We've all heard the rest of the discussion. But it is referred, and therefore this points 19 and 20 are not before us until brought back by this committee.
Number 21. This is of a different nature. This is suggesting a change in the Book of Church Order. That the General Assembly approve the following, that section 2.02.1, parenthesis 3 of Mission to the World Missions Manual, approved by the 7th General Assembly, and section 3.02.3, parenthesis 12, and 3.02.3, parenthesis 13 of the Mission to the World Missions Handbook be included in the Book of Church Order and with such revisions as may be necessary. Read them, the call to a particular work. After the presbytery has examined and approved demand for missionary service as an ordained minister, a recommendation for missionary service should be sent to the Mission to the World Committee. With this in hand, the committee, through its staff, shall extend an official call to a particular work to the candidate following his being approved for missionary service by the committee. On the basis of this call, the presbytery should proceed to ordain and commission the candidate. The issuance of the call to the approved ordained candidate. Approved candidates who are ordained as teaching elders will be issued a call from Mission to the World for presentation to their respective presbyteries. Approved candidates or missionaries who are ordained subsequent to acceptance by Mission to the World will also be issued calls at the appropriate time. Ordained candidates from other denominations. For a candidate who is an ordained teaching elder in a denomination other than the Presbyterian Church in America, proper procedure dictates that the candidate make application for membership in a presbytery of the PCA and be examined and approved. Then a motion should be made that he be received, pending approval by and a call from Mission to the World. Based on its examination,
The Presbytery should send a recommendation to Mission to the World. Once the candidate has been examined and approved by Mission to the World Committee, the staff will issue a call to a particular work. Based on this call, the Presbytery should enroll him as a member and then make plans to commission him as a missionary approximately 3 months prior to his departure from the for the field.
I've been asking wisdom. I would like Dr. Smith to tell you what he's told me as to the legality and steps that are ahead of us. Dr. Smith?
Mr. Moderator, I was trying to find the rule. I know it says it about overtures in your rules for assembly operation. I'm trying to see if it says it elsewhere. But that any proposed changes to the Book of Church Order are to be sent to the Permanent Committee on Judicial Business for refinement of language and then to be reported to the Assembly as an action, request of the Committee on Judicial Business rather than from other committees. Now, if the Assembly, though, should decide that it wants the Judicial Business Committee to propose language dealing with these matters, you could certainly approve this for reference to the Judicial Business Committee for it to perfect the language and then bring back to you. So that would be the step. And then it would have to be adopted by an assembly, passed down to presbyteries for their approval, adopted by a further assembly.
Dr. Buswell, is that the direction you'd like this to take?
We move it for reference to the Judicial Commission Committee for perfecting of the language.
That's
in effect what the assembly would be doing is saying we do want to do this.
Right. To be sure we realize the impact of that, we in our discussion will bring ourselves to the place where in our vote we are saying yes, we want the Permanent Judicial Committee to work on this and bring it back to us. Microphone 6.
Mr. Moderator, David Justly, Mississippi Valley Presbytery. I'm a little bit confused about what we're doing. We're fixing to refer this to a judicial committee?
Yes, that's the
impact. This is not open for any questions at this particular time?
It's open for questions and discussion from which we will determine if we really want it to go to that committee.
But as far as the actual...
No, we have no power to simply vote on it, and therefore it's the law of the Medes and Persians or the PCA Church. It has to come back to this body. It then has to go out to presbyteries and come back again because we're dealing with the Book of Church Order.
But, Mr. Moderator, if he's opposed to items in it, he could present that opposition
right.
as a reason for not sending it to the Judicial Committee.
Moderator, time has lapsed on the issue.
Do I hear your will as to extending it for 5 minutes? Those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. I rule that the noes have it. Microphone 10. I'm sorry, I cannot hear you.
Mr. Moderator, point of privilege. I have been standing here since the original motion was made, and I wish to make an amendment to the motion. And there has been no debate on the issue. It has been most time has been spent mostly on parliamentary
procedure. I just can't see for what you're correct. Go ahead.
Mr. Moderator, I would move an amendment to the reading of this motion as follows, beginning with a section on describing particularly how the Book of Church Order would read, if you will follow on your sheet. 202, the call to a particular work. After the presbytery has called, insert the word called, examined and approved a man for missionary service as an ordained minister, a recommendation for missionary service should be sent to the MDTW committee, period. Then change the next sentence. The MTW committee, through its staff, also may extend an official call to a particular work, and have the rest of the paragraph read as is. In the next paragraph, issuance of a call to approve ordained candidates. Approved candidates who are ordained as teaching elders will be issued a call from, and insert, presbyteries are from mission to the world for presentation to their respective presbyteries, and have the rest of the paragraph read as is. The next paragraph, ordained candidates from other denominations. For a candidate who is an ordained teaching elder in a denomination other than the PCA, proper procedure dictates that the candidate make application for membership in a presbytery of the PCA and be, insert, called, examined, and approved. Then substitute for the next two sentences, he also may be called by MTW. Then pick up after those two sentences, once the candidate has been examined and approved by the MTW committee, the staff will issue a call to a particular work. Based on this call, the presbytery should and strike whatever that enroll and put examine him, and then make plans to commission him as a missionary to the end of the paragraph. Mr. Moderator, I so move.
I will rule that the impact of our motion is to send the substance of this material to this committee. Therefore, this is a very appropriate resource to be given to the committee, but that it is not pertinent or proper for us to take the time to amend and debate the wording. The point being that we are sending the substance, and therefore this should go with, at your direction, to the committee for their consideration. Number 10?
Yes, I believe I would challenge your ruling, Mr. Moderator. It would seem to me that our responsibility is to make our substance, the substance of our desire, known to the committee, make that plainly known, and then it would be the committee's responsibility to refine the language of our substance. How can they must know what we wish to do.
I believe that the body can challenge the chair very simply, and I presume that is the intent. The formal wording is, shall the assembly support the ruling of the moderator? And I believe that expresses your concern. And I will ask you to express yourselves. A yea vote is that you support the ruling of the moderator. A no vote is that you do not support the ruling of the moderator. A no vote is to support Dr. Robertson's right for an amendment, and so on. All those in favor of supporting the moderator, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, please say no.
No.
Will the ayes please stand? Thank you. Will the noes please stand? Some of you illustrious men on the front, what do you think? I'm going to call for a count. I'm sorry. Be seated. Will the pages please count? Those in favor, please stand. While you're standing, I'll regale you with a story. We in the old BPEPRPCES had a very famous General Synod in 1955, and I was asked to take the chair, and as soon as I did, one of the most illustrious Bible Presbyterians made a motion, and I ruled it exactly opposite and therefore out of order, and I was ruled down. So I've got a reputation for that. Have we counted? All right, will you be seated, and the negatives please stand. Oh, I'm sorry, I saw some head shake up and down. I'm mixing you up. Please be seated. Everyone be seated. If you are in favor, everyone be seated. If you are in favor, stand. I had understood that we had taken that, and now I find we have not. All right. I see men going back counting. That's what disturbs me. You may be seated. Have the positive votes been tallied? Have all the positive votes been tallied? Those opposed, please stand. Mr. Robertson, do you have all that written out for us if it passes? For 223, against 248. I suppose I shouldn't have told my story. You may be seated. I will advise the body that by doing this, they have opened up another 10-minute debate on the amendment. We have the amendment before us. Do we have copies at the desk? Would you read it once again? Please pay rather strict attention. This is an extensive rewriting. It is really almost a substitute rather than an amendment. Microphone 10.
Mr. Moderator, may I simply explain the intent and, then we can have the perfection of the writing by the committee. The intent is simply to underscore and to preserve the fact that the presbytery may initiate the calling process of men to missionary service. In the PCUS in our latter days, and that was not eschatological in a positive sense, but in a negative sense, in our latter days, one of the great problems that we face is that we as churches would send our best men to the mission committee of the General Assembly and they would be rejected. The very reason that we are a denomination was because the denominational heads would not accept our missionary nominees. Now, one way to preserve the continuation of a flow of missionaries in that kind of circumstance would be to assure the presbytery the right to initiate calls to missionaries. Now, I'm in no wise saying that our present MPW committee has any problems in this area, but it would encourage us to see that we in the future could be preserved in this area. Also, I think it could prove to be a tremendous vehicle of missionary recruitment. Some of the best missionary prospects are sitting in your presbyteries in churches enjoying the luxuries of this life. Now, why should not a presbytery look around and be God's agent for missionary call and say to a man that they have seen prove himself in that presbytery and initiate a call to him? Now, naturally, all of this would be done, we assume, in conjunction with and in correspondence with the MTW committee. There might be problems of administration that would have to be worked out, but in the end, I think this could be a very effective method for increasing our mission force as well as preserving our mission force.
Microphone 6. Mr. Moderator David Justly, Mississippi Valley Presbytery. I'd like to ask a question to the chairman of the committee or to one of the members of the MTW staff. It's basically this: does the intent of this suggested language, would it forbid a presbytery sending out a missionary that was not approved by the Mission to the World Committee? Microphone 10.
Moderator Kennedy Smart with Mission to the World, North Georgia Presbytery. According to the wording of this, and as I understand it, if a presbytery calls a man and recommends him to Mission to the World, and we cannot in good conscience send him out because we might, from his references and from his psychiatric exam and so forth, realize that he would tear up the work we have on, then the presbytery is going to have to live by the terms of the call and raise the money themselves and provide for his annuity and his insurance and his work budget and his transportation to and from the field and his outfit allowance and take care of his inflation that's going to eat him up every year he's on the field and so forth.
All right, you've had an answer. Microphone five.
Dr. John Calvin Taylor from the Pittsburgh Presbytery. I am a career missionary and spent most of my life, I think, I haven't counted exactly, abroad in the mission field. And I don't want to have to go through all this red tape that we have here and wait 3 months every year to go abroad. Now, I would like to be recognized not have to go through so much red tape, which I've gone through many times before. So I would volunteer my services through MTW, because I approve of the MTW program. It's more progressive than what I have experienced. And we need young blood too, and career missionaries that have proved themselves. But in order to prove yourself, we've got to get a lot of new life in there. This is mostly a matter of information to the Judicial Committee, which I'm subject to. And I would, but not knowing you fellas, being new in the denomination, I would like to be contacted as to what to do.
Thank you. Microphone 6.
Mr. Moderator, Gene Case, Grace Presbytery. A previous speaker at this microphone asked what was basically a question that could have been a yes or a no, and we retreated to a recitation of all of the impediments which Mission to the World obviously thinks would be incurred in getting a missionary to the field. What the speaker wanted to know, and what I would like to know also, is does this proposal, if it were to be incorporated in the Book of Church Order, forbid a presbytery sending a man to the field? We realize that there are difficulties that arise. If a presbytery were willing to undertake, in spite of those difficulties, would it be able to do so?
May I ask if you are saying to send him to the field as a member of the team?
As a member of the presbytery. Is the presbytery forbidden to do mission work by this proposal if it were incorporated in the Book of Church Order?
Is someone from the staff prepared to respond? Microphone 10.
Mr. Moderator, if I may answer that as the author of the amendment. The intent is not to set up the presbytery as a rival mission-sending agency to the General Assembly. the intent is to work this in cooperation. It's just that it notes that the presbytery does have the right to initiate the process of calling. Now, I hope that the MTW will be helping to underwrite these causes and expenses as well. However, it does at the same time say that if the day should come, it may be necessary for a presbytery to send its own missionaries, that the presbytery would have the right by this statement of the Book of Church Order to do so. So it does not in any way say that a presbytery could not, as a matter of fact, be a mission sending agency. It would say just the reverse.
Microphone two.
Bob Alfers, Delmarva Presbytery. Mr. Moderator, I hope that we don't bring about a conflict between the presbyteries and the mission sending agency of this denomination. It seems to me that for the presbyteries to do the work of the mission to the world is a definite problem. I don't think that we ought to have any kind of rivalry, and I think that missionaries who are sent out must be sent out through Mission to the World and approved by them. And if they are not approved, the presbytery has to accept that as being that the church has spoken, because this is a part of the church that is speaking. They are determining whether men are qualified and should be sent to the field. And I don't think that a presbytery ought to assume that responsibility.
Microphone 7. Dick Harris, Tennessee Valley Presbytery. Mr. Moderator, the reason for this particular addition at this time was for something that happened last year in Tennessee Valley Presbytery. We had a man come for examination and ordination from another denomination without a call. And the Mission to the World advised us that they couldn't issue him a call until he was first examined and ordained. And we said, well, we can't ordain him and install him until he has a call. So it was a problem that arose to where we wanted to work it out to where a presbytery could go ahead and examine and ordain a man subject to a call from Mission of the World. And the whole intent of this was to take care of that problem. And in no way, shape, or form was it to put the presbytery in a sending organization or the Mission of the World or anything. So it's really gotten out of hand, but that's the whole reason.
Moderator, time's lapsed.
Time has lapsed. We are discussing an amendment. Is it the will of the body to continue 5 minutes? If so, say yes. Those opposed, say no. It is lost. We are at the point of voting on the amendment. Do you need it read? Those in favor of this amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. I rule that the noes have it. The amendment is lost. Those who are in favor, please stand up. Those opposed, be seated, please. Those opposed, please stand. I'm going to ask that we have a division of the House. While you who are opposed are standing, please remain standing. We will count the no votes at this time. Any announcements should be made during this period?
Mr. Moderator, we're trying to make announcements now on the overhead projector. It does mean that you need to be watching that. It could be that these special commissions we may still need to come back and make separately.
I didn't even know there was one working. Those who are standing are in the no vote. You may be seated. And now we'll ask those in favor to stand.
Mr. Moderator, may I make an announcement, please, or two? Just a reminder that Central Georgia Presbytery has a called meeting at 12 noon at P30. Central Georgia, P30, 12 noon. South Jersey Presbytery Science Building 101, 12 noon. Chaplains will be eating in the Commons Dining Room upstairs at 12 noon, or as soon as you can get through the line. The MUS Committee of South Florida Presbytery, the Hispanic Subcommittee, is eating together at one, or meeting together at 1 p.m. in the back of Nolcrest Dining Room. Philadelphia Presbytery members will wait until the committee meets after General Assembly and wait until the committee assigns Presbytery meeting date.
We're voting on whether or not to take 5 more minutes. That's all we're doing.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. We're taking 5 minutes to decide if we want to take 5 minutes. Oh, this is whether they continue the debate.
I thought we were voting on the amendment. I think you put the
vote. Oh, okay. Okay.
I think you did put the
vote. Okay.
Thank you.
Those who are for, 274. Those against, 216. It carries. Now, we now have an amended motion, and before us is the decision that it should be sent to the Permanent Judicial Committee. Is there any more discussion on that action? If not, those in question of microphone 8.
Steve Horning here from Ascension. My question is the intent of the amendment, whether in passing this amended motion now, we have a substance that reads with an either-or sense, that is, the Presbytery issuing the call, or whether the provision in the first sentence, after the Presbytery has called, comma, examined and approved, means that the Presbytery in every case must call a person to the missionary service. That's the question.
Dr. Robertson, microphone 10.
Mr. Moderator. Yes, it's very clearly spelled out that it is an either-or situation. It's the recognition of the fact that either church court may initiate the processes of calling a man to mission service, but with the assumption that there will always be the cooperation between the two.
Anything else before we vote? Yes. Microphone 3.
Yes, Mr. Moderator, Dan Broadwater from Mid-Atlantic or Delmarva Presbytery. Just a point of information. It may prove helpful to the Judicial Committee to correspond with perhaps the Church Extension Commission in the Delmarva Presbytery, who have been calling and ordaining men, or at least calling men, through the Presbytery. In fact, we have a man who's been called as a missionary to Baltimore City.
I would urge you to make that knowledge available to the men. I think it's more your responsibility to reach them. I've been asked to be sure to use the yea and nay rather than the yes and no. Those in favor of sending this to the Permanent Judicial... I'm sorry. Microphone 4.
Mr. Moderator, B.I. Anderson from Mississippi Valley. I just want to make one comment in regards to this. I voted for the amendment because I think it's most positive. I think that the Assembly should know also that this will give candidates who feel the call several areas where they will be certified, rather than allow just one final no to be passed upon them. I'm speaking of a particular situation where a man has applied on several occasions and has been turned down by the General Assembly, though he has been cleared by the session and been certified and examined by the presbytery. And therefore, I rejoice in this amendment and am very happy to see that it has been added to the guidelines. Thank you.
Seeing no one else on their feet, those in favor of sending this, please say yay.
Yay.
Those opposed, please say nay. So ordered.
Number Dr. 22. Buswell. That it be noted that the cooperative agreement with the Evangelical Fellowship of Kenya has been canceled because the missionary candidates were not able to go.
Any question? Ordered.
Noted. That it be noted that as directed by the 1981 General Assembly, additional correspondence was carried on with Overseas Crusades Ministries Incorporated, which resulted in OC changing their doctrinal statement to that of the National Association of Evangelicals.
Any question?
Noted. That the audit report for the year ended December 31st, 1981 of the Committee on Mission to the World and SEMA be approved.
Any question? So ordered.
That in line with the request of the Board of World Presbyterian Missions Incorporated, the subcommittee representing the World Presbyterian Ministries be enlarged to 8 members and 2 alternates.
Any discussion, question?
That's a part of the joining and receiving procedures.
That expands from 4 to 8 plus 2. Hearing none, so ordered.
That the General Assembly issue a call for a special offering for World Presbyterian Missions Incorporated on the third Sunday in September.
You have it before you.
I understand that this, Mr. Moderator,
yes.
I understand that this Sunday is very important in the life of World Presbyterian Missions, and this year seems very advisable to us to assist them and continue on this special Sunday.
Are you standing to speak? Seeing no question, it's so ordered.
Number 27, that the location of the offices of Mission to the World be retained in Atlanta.
Pardon? Number 10.
Robert Wyken. I'm a ruling elder, Presbyterian, the Philadelphia Presbytery, and I'm a member of the Committee on Administration. I'm not experienced in parliamentary matters, and I wonder if this is properly before the Assembly, in that we acted on essentially the same thing yesterday in connection with the Committee on Administration's number 17 or 18. But in any event, I am prepared to offer an amendment, and I would like to speak to that. The amendment would read as follows. The General Assembly authorized the permanent committees to enter into real property leases for not to exceed 3 years pending decision on permanent location.
We have an amendment. I presume it's in writing. The substance, as I gather it, I'll state it so it's before us, that the permanent committees be authorized to enter into real property leases not to exceed 3 years. I would presume that the substance of this is that if the location is to be changed, so be it. However, you can't economically allow your permanent committees to just have a few month lease here or there.
there is that kind of a background to it, I'm quite sure. Any comment or question on the amendment? Seeing none, the amendment is before us. Those in favor say yay. Those opposed, nay. I rule that it's passed. We now have the amended motion before us. Those in favor say yay. Those opposed, nay. It is passed. Dr. Buswell?
With the approval of the assembly, I will substitute the response of the Committee of Commissioners to the personal resolution of Nelson Malkus for number 28, making the last... Oh, would you please pass those?
We must pass to you a new item from the Committee of Commissioners on MTW.
There's no objection, I'll just substitute that right in.
Make it another recommendation. There's no need to substitute anyway.
I frankly had wished that they would have just waited a year on that thing.
It's unfortunate.
They pulled it at the very first moment, yeah.
Yeah. I think a lot of it is going to be sentiment right at this point.
Oh, yeah.
I know that. I know that. And that's
why. The itself might change over 2 years.
Pardon me, it's not on yet.
Most of you have received the resolution and its answer.
May we have some up here?
The famous corner in the rear, your right and left, has been omitted. Let's get to them.
This will become recommendation 28. Dr. Buswell.
You'll read the personal resolution from Nelson Malkus. He concludes, therefore be it resolved that the name of the Committee on Missions of the World be substituted by the name World Presbyterian Missions. The answer as response of the Committee of Commissioners on Missions of the World to this personal resolution after, I might say, a great deal of consultation and consideration. We recommend that we express our love and appreciation for the people and testimony of World Presbyterian Missions and recognize the great worldwide witness for Christ which has been given in His name in the past decade, and yet that there is no definite or compelling reason to continue the name World Presbyterian Missions in view of the similar and yet distinctive witness of Missions of the World in the past decade. We express our desire to retain the name Mission of the World for our combined Foreign Missions Committee.
It's before you.
Anyone wish to speak to it? So ordered.
Mr. Moderator, this completes the report at this time. I understand we have four recommendations yet to be brought up at a later time.
Can be approved subject to those four? How do you handle that? Microphone 8.
I'd like some information. I believe according to the advice on constitutional matters that we passed yesterday that we are to approve the admission of new cooperative agreements, and I saw two that were handed out, but to my knowledge the Assembly hasn't voted on them, and I'd like some explanation from Mission to the World if that's possible. Lee Ferguson, Calvary Presbytery. I don't know if I said that.
We have a legitimate question. Committee of Commissioners. Dr. Buswell?
Yes, I understood that in explaining, which perhaps was not done as clearly as it should be, in explaining that in the minutes of the Committee on Mission to the World, that all of the cooperative agreements were included, and we approved them, that we were approving them as reviewed. I think that we should understand that Mission to the World does not declare approval of all the doctrinal statements. They simply approve the relationship. Neither do we, as far as I am concerned, intend to approve all the doctrinal statements. But we are, as a committee, and we did, by recommendation one, intend to approve all the relationships. I can read them down if you wish, but they are, I think, in your report, are they not?
Page 831. Following. Doc, I believe these have been circulated. I know I have seen them before, so I must have had them.
Mr. Moderator, I have seen the agreement, but I, for one, was not aware that we were approving these when we approved the minutes. If the Assembly was aware of that, then I'll sit down.
Dr. Smith?
Mr. Moderator, I believe the action that we took yesterday would require the Assembly to take each one and approve. In other words, the Committee of Commissioners did not know of that action when they were doing their work. But I think the chairman, no doubt, on the basis of what he's just said, could make a motion regarding each one that the Assembly approve such and such a cooperative agreement.
Is there another copy of this for Dr. Buswell? Dr. Buswell, we're on page 831, I believe, to start with.
Well, we need the list of all the cooperative agreements.
Well, it starts at 831 and goes over.
Oh, I see what you're saying, though. Yeah, the back list. I have it. Page 808.
Page 808 is where the listing starts. Even more than that? It seems Exhibit A starts at 808. Page 806. G. Dr. Boswell?
You'd look on page 806 in your report. You'll find the list of cooperative agreements, list of the OR agencies with which Mission to the World has cooperative agreements. And the asterisk would indicate the new ones. I believe there is one asterisk, Evangelism Explosion.
What about all these other things?
Now, do you wish me to read the list? You have it
Boswell,
in front of you. Yes.
I am not quite with you. I see page 806. I see the asterisk, but what about all of this, Exhibit A, B, etc., starting at 808?
I have no knowledge on that. Okay. That's not We received exhibits of the new cooperative agreements made with Evangelism Explosion and with the SEMA, and reviewed them carefully and approved them as far as a general review.
John?
Yes.
Do you really think then the committee of commission just go back with Exhibit A on and come up with some recommendation on them? Will the body please bear with us? Dr. Boswell,
we'll bring you each individual. If you look at the report 2A, cooperative agreements between Mission to the World and Evangelism Explosion.
Dr. Boswell,
I move that that be approved. Page 850, Roman numeral 2A, simply list them. If you wish to refer it back to the committee and we should give you further detail, that'd be another way to do it. But I will move you, sir, that this is a cooperative agreement which is approved.
All right. We have a motion before us. We are closing in on the hours of the day, orders of the day. Number 9. Microphone 9.
Yes. Roy Wesher from the New Jersey Presbytery. I'm trying to make sense out of all this. You say there's an agreement, but I don't see the content of that. And then we were issued two agreements on page 831 through 835 with two new groups that say that they are not actions of the Assembly until acted upon by the Assembly. I see information on details that we haven't acted on. And then I hear that I'm to vote on one now where I have no details. And
page 808.
Yes, I've seen that. Okay.
Dr. Boswell?
I do see that one now. Okay.
Page 808.
Okay. Yeah. What about the other ones on 830? Is that the same one? Or
since this is a bit new to us, as
I trust the commissioners will not leave. We are not finished, and there are some important announcements.
I'm not certain all the information that's in your hand, but I think you have all of the new ones, which we listed, the cooperative agreements between Mission of the World, Evangelism Explosion, Slavic Gospel Association, Latin America Committee of EFMA.
Dr. Boswell, I'm going to interrupt and rule that this be the first order of business after lunch. There are some major announcements, and the orders of the day are upon us.
May I ask microphone the commissioners, 10. Please, to meet right up here?
Microphone 10.
Mr. Moderator, Tom Ramsey, Pacific Presbytery. I have an important motion that must be acted on before we adjourn.
I move that the General Assembly direct Central Carolina Presbytery to meet at 1:15 p.m. in this field house for the purpose of electing representatives to defend the presbytery on the hearing of complaint case number 6.
This does have importance. It's moved. Has it been seconded? Any discussion? Those in favor say yea.
Yea.
Those opposed, nay. So ordered. Other announcements before dismissal? I'm going to ask that we stand and the Reverend Robert Smallman lead us, if he will, in dismissal prayer. That's microphone what? 4. Microphone 4.
Let us pray. Our gracious Father, we thank you for your presence among us in the deliberations of this assembly. Now we ask your blessing upon our meal and our fellowship together and the business that will be carried on this afternoon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.